Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. Good to be back. So it's something of Nu Haschala. Well, there's the meaningless aspect of it, that it's the second, we're beginning the new volume in this edition, okay. But we're beginning a new Shar Yichud HaMaisa. This is really taking us further in the... We're really starting to ascend up between the clouds now in the program that the Chavos Al Vavos is laying down for us. So let's see. Hashar HaChamishi, Shar Yichud HaMaisa. The fifth Shar of the Sefer is Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Yichud HaMaisa means dedicating your actions, how would you say, exclusifying? Exclusifying your actions. It's probably not correct, but it is, that does accurately convey it. Bad English, but correct content. Dedicating your actions exclusively to Hashem. Let's understand what that means and how relevant this is. So, Amar HaMechaber, Mipnei Shekodam Ma'amoreinu Babitochan HaLelikim Yisbarach, since our previous discussion was about bitochen in Hashem. So ra'ino lismoichloi, if a person does develop proper bitochen, that will lead him to the next threshold, right? We keep discussing how the Chavos Al Vavos, it's not a collection of ideas, but it's a buildup. One area leads to the other. When a person does develop his bitochen, he's at the threshold of being able to take on this next area. And what's that? Well, you know, lismoichloi, so we deem it appropriate to make the next step. Afnei chiyuv, hayoyz kolmasu avoidom yuchodim leloikim levado. The chiyuv, the obligation of dedicating any mitzvahs that we do to Hashem alone. Ba'avur ma sheyesh bedavar zeh, Mizakus hamatzponim ubar halavavas. This is something that really brings you significantly forward in really having what we'll call a pure heart, in operating in a pure way. Mina iubuv hamafsidoisam, and getting rid of the impurities that can get mixed into our mitzvahs and take down their value. More specifically, we're talking about avoiding, trying to make the things you do appealing to the people around you, which can bring a person to a place where he can be doing mitzvahs. The way the Chavos Al Vavos says this sharply in other places is, he calls it avodah zarah b'shituf. A person is actually worshiping two gods, Hashem and the people around him. Because what is worship? What is avodah? Avodah, for us, avodah means pleasing Hashem. That's what avodah is. We're not talking about rites, R-I-T-E, right? We're not talking about rituals. We're not talking about things that you have to do. The essence of avodah is pleasing Hashem. I want to gain Hashem's favor by doing what He said. And if in addition to that, I want to gain so-and-so's favor, then I am actually joining someone else in my worship. That's a strong way that the Chavos Al Vavos puts it down. So, okay, we'll take it on a more subtle level. The concept being that we want the things that we're doing to be as Lishem Shamayim as possible. Now we're going to have to put this into perspective. First, we'll show how far-reaching this is and how tough of an avodah this is. And then we'll try to put it into perspective in a more practical way. But meanwhile, we want to avoid making our actions appealing to others. Meaning, when I'm doing something, I want to make sure that it'll be in a way that the people around me will approve of, will admire. Which brings a person to turn that into an objective. I'm doing a mitzvah now because I want to please XYZ. And
besides
shikur,
it could even easily get worse than that. It can be negate Hashem's Ratzon.
Reb Shlaim is pointing out that it can easily, this can, once a person gets into this mode of the things that I do need to be pleasing to the people around me. So we were discussing that it can compete with your Kavana L'Shem Shemayim, but often it can reach a place of actually conflicting with it, because if you're really going to do it exactly the way Hashem says, it might not lend itself to pleasing the people around you. And the question is, which are you going to prefer? This is not a simple subject. And we'll give some tough examples soon, Bli Neder, and then hopefully Bezos Hashem bring it to a place that we'll be able to work with. Like Eliyu said, Eliyu was in a tough position. Eliyu was one of the friends of Iyov. Iyov, right? We all know the story of Iyov. Everybody's familiar with the first 2-3 prakim in Iyov. That's the story part. I've started that. I've learned that part. Who knows how many Tisha B'Av's gotten through the first 2-3 prakim, right? And then you run into the rest where you really understand what the Kuzari meant when he said Lashon HaKodesh is a lost language. So you ever need a proof that you can't just operate with the concept of Pshuto Shamikro. We don't really understand how to read Lashon Kodesh properly. Open up an Iyov, and there you see that, no, we don't know Lashon Kodesh. We know a very, very superficial level of Lashon Kodesh. Very, very tough philosophical sefer. But basically what's going on there is that Iyov, we all know, right? He was put through very serious ordeals, very serious misfortunes. And the Sefer Iyov is him discussing with his friends. His friends are coming and trying to give perspectives on it, etc. And he's debating with them. And at the end, it's finally Elihu who comes and gives the arguments that were really deemed the correct arguments. And the way Elihu prefaces what he has to say is, Alma Esaf Neish. He's in a delicate situation. He's talking to a suffering person, and you have to know how to talk properly in such a situation. But at the same time, he's making it clear that I do not want to make the mistake. I'm going to speak as it needs to be said. And we can lay down here as a premise that he knew Iyov and presumably understood that Iyov could handle it. But he's saying, I want to make it clear that I will not be now attempting to make you happy with the things I'm saying. I'll not esap pnei ish. He says, I will not take into consideration any personnel. The things I'm going to be saying now are simply going to be aimed at Ratzon Hashem. I don't know how to sugarcoat it for people. So now let's just understand the concept. I'll just give a few harsh examples. If we'll talk about the most, you know, in Mamish, in a blatant way, let's say I have a person who's learning Torah or davening simply because he wants to impress the people around him. Okay? And then let's say, and this is going to get already a little bit more subtle. We'll put it into perspective. Let's say you're going to a chasana. Going to a chasana is a chesed. You're going to be mesameach chosam mekalo. Or chas v'shalom, going to nichum avelim. And the question is, why are you going? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to Nichum Avelim. But the question is, what's in your mind? Sometimes, Chalila, a person can be going and doing something that could be a mitzvah, but his intent is, this is a social obligation. I can't not go, because then I won't be able to face him in shul. Or I can't not be at this wedding because this is where everybody's going to be. Right? So in other words, why is this person going? He's going to please the person. Now this gets very fine, because it gets subtle, because chesed, when you're doing chesed, you are supposed to be pleasing the person. But here's where it gets even more fine. I'll give a mashal like this. It's true you're supposed to be trying to make the person happy. But for what purpose? For what purpose? Because this is what Hashem wants of you. Hashem wants you to make this person happy. So I'm trying to make the person happy. And here it's a fine line, but an important line to understand. I'm trying to make this person happy. Why? Because I want this person to like me? Because I want to maintain my standing with him? Or I want to make this person happy because Hashem wants to see him happy? Not simple. Not simple. I had the experience of being a rav of a significantly large kehillah for a year. Exactly, that might be one of the toughest areas of avoda. Is that it's very difficult. That you want people to approve of the things you do and you say, and to always like looking around. Are people not happy with it? Do I have to not push it? It's not push it. And the truth is that when we talk about Rabbanus, stories of the Rabbanus, and we hear great stories of great Rabbanim in the context of Rabbanus, I don't mean, I'm not talking about like learning or personal avoida. In the context of Rabbanus, the stories will either be one of two things. It will either be almost like a Dava V'Hipuchai, but that's where the greatness, you know, the great Rabbanus stories lie. Either it's in the extent to which they cared for their people, those are the great stories of Rabbanus, or the extent to which they did not make a point of pleasing them. They made a point of not worrying about pleasing the people. And often the same person. One is not a conflict to the other. I think about probably the most famous stories about this is the Beis Halevi, right? The Beis Halevi, when you read the stories of his life, it almost looks like he went out of his way to demonstrate his disregard for the influential people in the Kehila, in the city, and to butter up the helpless Nebuchs, who he really didn't have to pay attention to them at all in order to maintain his standing. So it's a tough subject. It's a tough subject.
But every side of the Rav said about social obligations, etc., could also be, you know, I want to have social standing because if I have a social standing, I'll be more of him abrios and Adam.
So David is pointing out that itself. That's right. Reb David is pointing out that itself, sometimes wanting to be in a good social place, that itself could have a L'shem Shemayim, and it could have a not L'shem Shemayim. And this is exactly the challenge of the subject we're talking about. Is it about me? Is it about, are people liking me? I'm not giving a shir now. I have to ask myself that question. I want to be saying it in a way that people are going to be, say, this man gives a good shir, right? Or am I trying to do it in a way of, I want to connect people to Ratzon Hashem? I guess it's always an issue that I have to ask myself, what are the percentages? Not so pashut. But I want to give some perspective on this, just to put it into, make it a little more practically approachable. I'll give an example there, but Victor Miller said, this is already in a completely different realm, but this is really the way I see it, our avoda here. Another completely different area. Mitzvah Avodah Shabbos, it's a classic example from a completely different realm. Are you doing it for Hashem? Or are you doing it because the food is really good and I like good food? I'd be just as happy to do it on Wednesday. So there are people who, before they eat something on Shabbos, before each course, they'll say L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh. Right? Routinely, L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh, and then dig in. And then you'll have the people, well, the other side of the coin, will come and say, give me a break. L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh. You're a little too simchadik about this mitzvah for it to be really be L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh. This is L'chvod your stomach. Just say that, right? And if you're just talking, you know, sharp, concrete, you probably have a point. You have a point. But Victor Miller said, no, it's a mistake to take that approach, because basically what you're doing by saying that is saying, it's not L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh, it's L'chvod your stomach. Just leave it there. Don't move forward from there. Ensure that for the next 90 years, you'll only be eating that challenge L'chvod your stomach. So he said, say L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh. Why? Because then you're reminding yourself, are you turning it into completely L'chvod Shabbos? No. But you've turned it from 100% L'chvod your stomach. You've inserted 3%. That is growth. That's great. The value of that is immense. A person who his whole life is eating 3% L'chvod Shabbos Kodesh, is that comparable to a person who spends his entire life eating only L'chvod the stomach? And this is really the point. This is applicable to all the other things. We want to get used to the idea of, we're going to be honest with ourselves. I am doing this chesed because I just feel funny from the person. But you know what? I'm going to think to myself, wait. I'm going to stop short. Let it not be just that. Let me at least insert It shouldn't, if we'll use, if we'll be a little sarcastic and use the terms of the Chavis HaLavis, he talked about avoid the Meshituf. It doesn't have to be, let it at least be avoid the Meshituf. Better to do the avoid the Meshituf than just the avoid the Zara, right? So don't you, if we say, if you can come to a place of, if you can come to a place of, yes, I'm going now to do this chesed because I want to please this person. But 1 minute, there should also be L'shem Shemayim here. Stop short. I want to please Hashem also. Oh, you've made progress there. So we won't just say, well, since at the end of the day, Lamaisa, you're doing it for your own purposes. So forget about it. This whole avodah is not negev for us. You want to see if we can come to a place of inserting L'shem Shemayim, and that already put us in a different place. We can work from there to try to add as much as we can to that percentage. But this is the place to start. That's the starting point, and then Be'ezus Hashem, go from there. Kol Tov, we'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you. It's good to be back again.
To you.